We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Emprise Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of No Other Pod.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of No Other Pod. I'm Jimmy.
Let's go.
Along with my good buddy, Daniel Kuzer. Dan, what's going on, my friend?
What's going on is we're undefeated, my friend. We are undefeated. Coming in here with that positive energy, man. That synergism is what I call it. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Feeling good, man. Things are good. How are you?
I'm good. That is the ultimate glass half full way to look at this because undefeated, factually correct.
Yeah.
Two road draws against two very good teams. That's good. You could also come in here and you could say winless through three games. But we don't want to do that.
Could have come in. Almost did that. I did come in thinking, you know, draws are not going to get you in the playoffs, people. You know, and it's like, okay, let's relax. It's the third game. Road draws and a draw against a really good LAFC team, man. I'm excited to really pick this game apart a little bit. It was a late game. And most late games that end up being draws usually grind my freaking gears.
Mm-hmm.
I usually get real mad. But I'm not mad. I'm feeling okay.
Yeah. It was a fun game, which is not a usual thing to say for a 0-0 game, especially one that had a combined about two expected goals is what the advanced analytics are saying. But it didn't feel that way. It felt like it was a more exciting game. And of course, it wouldn't be an MLS game in 2024 if there weren't some shenanigans and chicanery from the scab refs that occurred. And there were some. So,
A little bit. We didn't really know what was going on at the time. No one had any freaking idea. There's no communication about it. The announcers didn't really understand.
No. Which made me confused, and then I was confused, and Peter and Tim talked about it after. So we'll get into all of it. It was confusing for sure.
Don't get me on the announcers, man. They're not pronouncing names right. They're not doing the studying. All you got to do is you Google how do you say this,
yes.
And the little Google lady. That's what I call her, Google lady. She will say something,
Google,
and you just repeat it. It's real easy. It's kind of like elementary school.
Does Google speak and spell,
you know?
Google doesn't have a name like Siri or Cortana. It's just Google. Hey, Google.
What is Cortana?
Cortana is the Microsoft one.
Cortana is Microsoft.
It started in Halo, I'm pretty sure. Like, it was the AI in Halo that was called Cortana, and then they just were like, well, let's just name our Microsoft AI bot that, but I don't think anybody uses it.
Definitely not. And Google is not Microsoft.
No. So I think it's just, hey, Google. And now the more I say, hey, Google, I'm activating people's Google devices at their home.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't like that. I don't like it. I don't like those devices that can just pop right up and start saying things to you, man. I don't even do the hey, Siri thing on my phone. Yeah. Am I getting old? Is that what that is?
Hey, Siri, follow No Other Pod on Apple Podcasts.
There you go. I don't do hey, Siri.
God damn it. I did it to myself.
Oh, you fucking played yourself. Dude, this is how old we are. I will not use Siri or any kind of AI devices, and you are plugging your ears at a showing of Dune 2.
Oh, I told you that in confidence off there.
Was that a secret? I didn't know.
It's fine. I saw Dune 2. at I like going to the Dolby Theater at AMC Town Center.
And it was a lot, huh?
And it's a great. I mean, Dolby Atmos sound, Dolby Vision. It's great. I've seen dozens of movies there in that specific theater over the years. Oh, yeah. I have a specific seat I sit in every single time on the aisle because I'm an old person and I want to have easy access to the bathroom and not disturb
people. Get to the bathroom.
But I know exactly if I go right. Well, I did know. I was like, if I go right at the beginning of Nicole Kidman, I can get there, get back. They're still in the middle of doing their Dolby Atmos thing. They've changed Nicole Kidman now.
They did.
What society do we live in?
You didn't know they were doing that?
I saw it like during the Super Bowl or something.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's out of control. But
she didn't get the boot, by the way. She's got new shit coming.
Yeah. She doesn't say heartbreak feels good in a place like this anymore.
No. She was gone for a minute. And then actually a girl I know was in the AMC commercial preview at the theaters. And I was like, that's kind of dope. And then Nicole Kidman's back. So that was very short lived.
Well, my whole sort of routine has been shaken up because AMC felt like they needed to update it. But I'm sitting there, and let me tell you, the moment that movie started, and I didn't see Dune 1 in theaters. I watched it recently, but I've been told Dune 1 was also a loud movie. But the moment that movie started, I was like, oh, this might be a problem. And I made it through probably about an hour. It's like 10% of that movie. I made it through probably about an hour, and when the action really started picking up, there were some legitimate times where like kind of covered my ears a little bit, and then I made some makeshift earplugs. So I wish I would have brought my concert earplugs. I bought some of those like high fidelity earplugs that still let like good sound in, but they just dampen it a little bit.
Yeah,
for some of the concerts I go to.
Hey, it's smart stuff, man. I fully support earplugs at concerts. I mean, I've heard ringing in my ears after a concert for like 2 days.
And I don't want that. Well, and that's the thing. I'm paranoid. I'm a hypochondriac. But ear damage it builds on itself. Like, it doesn't get hurt and then go away. Like, the more you damage your ears, it just continues to build on itself over time. And I was like, this movie's like 4 hours long. 2 hours, 45 minutes. But I was like, this movie's almost 3 hours long. And if it's going to be this loud the entire time, like, I'm going to be deaf by the time the movie's done. I'm going to just have Timothy Chalamet screaming at me the whole time. So
let me blow your mind for a minute. You know that every time, like, that little song that plays, that, you know, that the little, it sounds like Chris Coulter from Glee.
Oh, I never watched Glee.
It's gonna blow your minds, you gleeple out there. Is that a thing?
Sounds
like that dude from Glee. You guys all know it.
I did enjoy Dune 2. I thought it was good. Now I'm also gonna break your brain. Well, I've already told you this. I've never read any of the books. I don't know anything about the books. Didn't know that. Spoiler alert. This isn't really a spoiler alert, but if you don't want to know anything about the movie, I didn't know that there's apparently supposed to be a third movie. So there's, and you know, it's like 10 minutes left in the runtime. I'm like, there's feels like there's some things they got to wrap up here pretty quick. And then that did not happen. So,
well, there's like, I mean, there's six original books, and the first two movies is just the first book. So if my math is correct, we need about 10 more movies.
Well, it's apparently they're only doing a trilogy is what it sounds like. I guess the author, Frank Herbert, only wrote a few of the books, and then his son he wrote three, I think, and then his son wrote the last three.
Shut your mouth. There's no way.
That's what.
Are you serious?
That's what I've been told. Oh, see, producer.
I know he wrote a bunch. There's way more than just six. I'm pretty sure he wrote six.
Like, well, see.
Fact check it, Nick. What are you doing?
Producer Nick, who we found out was a zookeeper. Not really, but he.
Don't just say he only wrote a few. No, he was a zoo boy, and he served popcorn. I'm a zoo boy.
So anyway. We've gone fully off the rails here.
Don't
welcome to No Other
Film. Do the math, Nick. Get on the googs, man. Hey, Google.
Let's talk about soccer on a soccer podcast.
But it was a draw, though. I thought we'd move on.
It was, but that was it. This game, it was a little interesting from a lineup perspective because I think many of us thought that Remy Voltaire would probably play in this game. Peter
I did not.
You did?
Didn't,
okay.
Didn't Peter say that if he's questionable, he's not going to bring him?
Well, at first, Peter was like, you know, he probably only needs a day to recover. He's fine. He'll probably play this weekend. And then it kind of became, you know, less and less. And yeah, he wasn't available. So Memo Rodriguez got his first start. Other than that, same lineup we've come to know and love in the first two games of the year. Frontline, Shallowy, Polito, Russell, Rodoya and Tommy in the midfield with Memo, and then Leibold, Fontas, Rosero, Davis in front of Timilia. And then this LAFC team we're playing, it's a very strong lineup, like we talked about last week. The biggest difference is there is no Carlos Vela this year. They do have their new goalkeeper, Hugo Lloris, which is not Hugo Joris, as the Apple TV commentators kept wanting to say. Hugo Joris and Daniel Chaloy. Neither of those is how you pronounce the names.
I don't like it, man. I don't like it.
But this game scared me from before we even played it, because in the last five games we've played LAFC, we have not won a game. I'm almost positive that's true. I'm pretty sure I looked that up before I forgot. And yeah, so LAFC at home, they're a very strong team. I was nervous when I saw the lineup. I was like, oh man, a draw is what I'm hoping for at best. And I think that's kind of what we said last week. But is that how you were feeling even when you saw the lineups come out?
No, I knew we'd go for it, right? Like, still got your attackers in there. You still got your defenders in there. I mean, we got people in the midfield that can change out. I wasn't upset about this, and Memo Rodriguez did not let us down. I mean, the man was looking confident. He did have to make some gut-busting runs, some lung busters that didn't turn out so well. Kind of scary at times, but not afraid to shoot from distance either, which, by the way, let me just say, we're shooting a lot from distance, and I will tell you what that looks like. Last year, first 10 games, all we did was shoot from distance.
Yeah.
What happened in those first 10 games? We didn't get a win. Now, we've already matched our point total from those first 10 games.
Yeah.
But the whole distance shooting thing, I it scares me, right?
There were some times, not a lot, because if you look at the stats for the game, the advanced analytics, if you look at the expected goals, according to FotMob, at least, I tend to use FotMobs more than I use Apple TVs. Sporting Kansas City had 0.58 expected goals to 1.46 for LAFC. So it's not great. Obviously, for Sporting Kansas City, you don't want to see that few amount of shots. If you look at the shot chart, it's about evenly split. There were 16 total shots for Sporting Kansas City, 6 on target. It's about 8-8 in the box, out the box. Now, that's not a good ratio, like you're saying. If you look at LAFC's shots, they had 16 shots and 6 on target as well.
Is that what they're saying? 16? I'm seeing 15 for both, but whatever you're looking
I'm looking at FotMob. Are you looking at MLSsoccer.com?
Yeah.
It could be that there's a slight discrepancy. I don't really trust MLSsoccer.com anymore. I'm not going to lie.
Really?
I've been told they changed their stat provider, and the stat provider does not have all the capabilities. That's why you don't see passing chalkboards on MLSsoccer.com anymore, because that does not have that availability.
You got to have passing chalkboards.
But according to FontMob, 16 shots, and of those 16 shots, 11 were within the box to 5 outside the box. So clearly, LAFC was getting better opportunities throughout the game than Sporting Kansas City. Although I will say, I don't know what your thoughts are, but it never really felt to me like it was a particularly one-sided affair. I thought it felt relatively even for much of the game.
Yeah, it felt good, man. And the stats show that. I mean, at least what I'm looking at here is shots were even. Shots on goal, they both had 6.
Mm-hmm.
And saves, they both had 6.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they were cooking on all cylinders, man. The only thing is LAFC fouled a lot more. It was like 19-10 as far as fouls go. But
yep, 19.
It felt like an even game. And you knew this because at the very end of the game, the coaches went right to each other. And it looked like they were like bantering, like, hey, what a hell of a game, you guys. Like, it was an entertaining 0-0 draw. And that's hard to have sometimes, is to be entertaining when there's no goals.
Yeah, there was a lot of things happening throughout the game. It was very entertaining. There was a lot of quick ball movement. Sporting Kansas City, the defense played pretty well. We can talk about it a little bit more. Tim Leibold concerns me a little bit. It definitely felt like LAFC was picking on Tim Leibold, and you know, you can see some moments where technically he's very skilled, but at times he feels a little bit like a defensive liability, which is not great if you're a defender. But one of the big differences that I'm seeing with this center back pairing of Fontas and Rosero, as opposed to some of the center back pairings, or, and even with this center back pairing in years past, is they seem to have built their confidence and their trust in each other a lot more. And when one of them makes a mistake, is Fontas, as he's well known to do, will sometimes step to a ball he can't actually get and cause a problem, or Rosero will get himself in trouble. They seem to be able to recover a little bit better this season through three games, at least, than they have been in years past. And that's been the big issue, really, since Ike Opara left. So,
yeah,
to hold a team with 1.46 expected goals to none, and that's not all in the defense. A lot of that's on Tim, which we'll talk about as we go through the game. I don't know. It's a solid defensive performance. So
they should feel pretty good about that, man. The defenders should be feeling pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. Why don't we, before we start jumping into some specific moments in the game, why don't we go ahead and take our break here real quick, and then we will come back and we will go through the most exciting moments of the 0-0 draw. We'll be right back.
We appreciate you supporting KC Sports Network by listening to our podcast. You have helped us become the highest-ranked Chiefs podcast network in 2022 and 2023. And don't forget about our daily Substack newsletter, the best written analysis you can find on the Chiefs straight to your inbox every day. KCSN.substack.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, buddy. Another day. We're all just, we're getting older. Do you know this? We're all getting older. And I got to tell you this because on a scale from zero to Al Pacino,
oh no,
we're gonna get there, bro. It's going to happen. Our brains are turning to soup, and it's just part of it.
Is this because Al Pacino, you know, entirely flubbed the Best Picture announcement?
I love the anticipation of it. I love the fucking... Okay, and the nominee, you can say the nominees. We don't know the 10 nominees that were up for Best Picture because no one read them.
He
opens the damn envelope and goes, I see Oppenheimer here. What the? Al, slow down, bro. Build it. You got 15 minutes left in the show.
It was weird. This was the first time that there's been an Oscar show where they were, you know, not running long, and Jimmy Kimmel's like, I guess I'm just going to read Donald Trump's social post to kill some time. But yeah, it was different. They did show the nominees throughout the night, but he didn't read them, and he didn't even say in the winner 2024 Oscar for Best Picture is. He just goes, yep. So I guess I'll open it, and my eyes see Oppenheimer. And then there was an awkward pause and delay of the music before they're like, oh, yeah, that he announced it. So,
man, does that mean we got to watch that movie again? Because that's a long movie.
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
What?
So,
well, you have Peacock, right?
I do.
What are you waiting on?
I'll go watch it. I did watch Poor Things. That's a weird movie.
Hell yeah. It is weird.
I was uncomfortable the entire time.
As you should be. It's like, whoa, there's naked Emma Stone. Otherwise, it might be attractive, but no, she plays a person with a child brain.
It feels weird. It was weird.
When she's talking about having all this sex, dude.
I was uncomfortable the entire time.
Very much so. Tell me you don't call sex furious jumping, though.
I have not used that phrase, so.
You will. It'll catch on.
I don't know if I will. anywho, let's get back to this game. It started off, I would say, in the first, I don't know, 15 minutes or so. Sporting Kansas City was kind of more on the front foot. They were the team that was attacking more. They were the team that was creating chances. You know, there was an opportunity in the fourth minute where LAFC got a set piece just outside, because again, I said Leibold was a little bit of a liability. He pulled someone down outside the box, and somehow Ryan Hollingshead just gets wide open just outside the 6-yard line. I don't know if Johnny Russell loses him. I don't know if somebody else is supposed to pick him up or what. But you know, Johnny kind of raises his hand after Hollingshead gets the free header. So I think Johnny just lost him in the shuffle. But if Ryan puts that, you know, a few feet to the right, a few feet to the left, instead of hitting it directly at Tim Melia, this game could have been 1-0 LAFC in the fourth minute.
Yeah, it very well could have been, man. It was just a weird game from the get-go. It's like, I don't know, man. It's just, we could have lost it very easily.
Well, and if it would have been down, you know, if it would have been 1-0 in the fourth minute LAFC, yeah, I don't want to say that's game over, but this team so far this year has not shown great ability to be able to score a lot of goals. So a comeback on the road against a team like LAFC, you know, that with that much of the game to go, I don't know. I just, it wouldn't have felt likely. But
they weren't just testing us though. I mean, we were doing some things too, man. And
right,
a lot of them from distance though. I mean, Johnny Russell tried one that got tipped over the bar. Eric Tommy tried one from distance. How do you say this goalkeeper's name again?
Hugo Lloris.
Lloris. So you do say the L?
Pretty sure.
It's not Le Lloris.
It's not Le Lloris.
Like how you say Le Lloyd.
Le Lloyd. That's how you say Le Lloyd.
You say Lloyd, man.
Le Lloyd Christmas.
Le Lloyd. Yes, absolutely. And what? How are they saying it on the broadcast?
Joris.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he was pronouncing it with a J. Now, to be fair, the commentator, whose name is escaping me at the moment, I don't believe English is his first language.
Okay.
And I would not want to go out and do a broadcast. I think I've said this before. I would not want to go out and do a broadcast in a language that was not my native language. So kudos to him. He's doing something I could not do. If for no other reason than I don't speak another language. But
yeah,
this isn't a problem isolated to just this one commentator. Every week.
Sure.
There are Apple commentators who get names wrong, who get basic facts wrong. And I still maintain that, you know, I had an interchange with another soccer media member, Juan Arango, on Twitter. And he was like, well, that's because they all need researchers who sit with them in the box who can give them all the proper information and whatnot. I'm like, well, yeah, if you're talking about UEFA Champions League at the height of professional soccer, they might be able to have researchers who are sitting there who can tell them exactly how many goals Kevin De Bruyne has scored in the last 50 games or whatever. But Major League Soccer isn't even willing to pay the regular referees, let alone be able to fund researchers to travel around the country to be in every broadcast booth. So that's not happening. So I would like to put a little bit more of the onus on the broadcasters to be able to get basic facts correct.
Sure. I mean, it's, they got to do their own researching and stuff.
I'm sure there are producers that give them stat sheets and stuff ahead of the game, but if they kind of go riffing, like when a couple weeks ago, when the commentator was like, Eric Tomei hasn't, you know, he was kind of out of favor last year, whatever she said, and when it's like, well, no, he actually played in literally every possible MLS game and all but two. So,
and why would you say that? I don't.
It's just basic things that Nate Buchady never would have got that wrong.
No, definitely not. I mean, that's also a diehard sporting fan becoming a broadcaster, you know?
Yeah. So there are some good ones out there. I still think Nate's great. I think Chris Whittingham is a very good broadcaster. There are some very good ones. And there's some that need some work. So,
yeah.
But Sporting definitely throughout the game had moments. I think what you said was largely correct, though, in that there were definite periods of time where they were getting shots off. They were just largely shots from distance. And the shots that LAFC were getting were piercing attacks into the box that were good, solid team goals. You know, they had one in the 12th minute, I want to say it was Atuesta, who, if it weren't for Tim Melia and his heroics, it could have been another goal for, you know, it could have been 2-0 in the 12th minute LAFC.
Yeah.
But Tim Melia came up big and stopped another shot, you know, just outside the 66-yard box that was, you know, an attempt at a chip. So,
you know who was a scary player on their team, though?
Who?
Bouyanga.
Well, you know. Golden Boot winner, Dennis Bouyanga.
he's quick. He was all over the place, just trying to torch our outside backs every chance he got, you know.
He's a very good player.
Yeah, and I saw that. He was always, his name was just being on the broadcast over and over. Something different. There was, this is notable. There's one sub in this entire game from either, there none from Sporting.
Yeah.
And Ilya was taken out, which I thought was a disaster because I thought Ilya was playing very well.
Ilya was playing very well. And his hair, he got a little criticism for his hair. I thought his hair looked good.
Who criticized him? Why?
Well, I mean, everyone's looking at Ilya's hair now because he had the cornrows last week.
Sure. And, he had it tied up in a bun, right?
He did. But people don't like the long hair on Ilya. I do. I like the long hair on Ilya.
Listen, these people need to stop being grandparents and telling people what to do with their bodies. Listen, every time I go around my wife's grandparents, granddad will be like, well, I don't really like the hair. No one fucking asked you. I hate to say it. We're going to hope they don't listen to this podcast.
What if they do? Hello, Marissa's granddad.
Let's just check in and see how Daniel's doing on his little radio show. Oh, shit.
No one fucking asked you, granddad.
Floyd, I love you. Do not shoot me in the face.
I see a possibility. You never.
Man used to be in the fucking FBI. He's like a regular old meet the parents holding your pulse to do a human lie detector test.
Has he ever asked you to milk him?
No. But you can milk anything with nipples.
Okay. Well, that's good. LAFC continued to attack in the box. Sporting Kansas City couldn't. Now, there were moments where Sporting Kansas City got some really quality shots off. Alan Pulido in particular, he had a ball that was sprung for him into the box. And it looked like he was attempting to maybe draw a foul. And he kind of went down a little bit too easy. And he got a shot off and it ended up being a decent shot. But Alan Pulido has been a little bit of a disappointment to me through three games. I want to see him show a little bit more strength there. I want to see him stay up and get a better quality shot off and not go down so easy trying to get a penalty. But I mean, you're a designated player striker. You can't be disappearing for large portions of the game.
He has disappointed you?
I mean,
you are, oh my God, I am floored. I do not like when I see him playing the six. He's like D mid. And I'm going, I think I yelled at one point at the TV. I go, Alan, score. What are you doing back there?
This is what I'm saying. Now, it's a blessing and a curse with Alan because we've talked about his ability to pull defenders out of position. The problem is when you're playing basically the six, like you said, and you're, you know, 20 yards deep in your own half of the field, you're not going to be pulling center backs away when you're doing that. He's sometimes
pulling our center backs away. They're like, what are you doing, Alan? Give us the ball. Go.
Redoya's like, if you're here, should I be up there? Like, I'm not really sure what's happening.
Do you switch? Is it like basketball? Oh, you're there? I'll go play over here. Like, what?
He's got a lot of skill, and he's almost let, I'm not saying he's this quality of player, but he reminds me of somebody, you know, it's like what Magic Johnson was to the Showtime Lakers, where like he was not a primary scorer. He was a distributor. He wanted to be a distributor. It's what LeBron sometimes has been a criticism of LeBron throughout his career, is that he doesn't have that same Kobe or Jordan killer instinct all the time. He's more likely to make the pass than to take the shot himself. Again, I'm not saying that Allen is a LeBron or Magic level player, but there are times when he is more willing to peel off and make a run or lay a ball off than take it himself. And it can be an admirable quality, but it also is something where if you're, you know, an $11 million striker and you're supposed to be the primary goal scorer for your team, I want you to be able to score goals. And so far this year, you'll go 20, 30, 40 minutes in a game and you don't really hear Alan Pulido's name.
No, not at all. I sometimes forget he's even out there because Johnny and Daniel are doing majority of the work. Like, they're workhorses over there, man.
Yeah, especially this game. I think it was at halftime where they showed the attacking charts. And last game, it was pretty evenly split left, right, and there was basically nothing in the middle. And again, there was basically nothing in the middle, but it was something like 53 or 58% of the attacks were going down the right side, and then like 30% left side, and then like 10 and 10 up the lanes in the middle. But this game in particular, Sporting made a concerted effort, and I don't know if this was the game plan ahead of time or if this is just something they felt in the game, that it was going to be Johnny and Eric Tommy on the right side, and that's primarily where the attacks were going to come from. But I don't know. It was interesting. I did think, you know, a little bit before halftime, Johnny had a shot that I thought he might pick out. He kind of just skidded one across the floor towards Lloris. Couldn't quite put it away. Andre Fontes had some good clearances before halftime to make sure that it stayed level. 0-0. We go into halftime. 0-0. Feeling pretty good. I'm actually in rewatching some of these highlights now. LAFC definitely had the better chances throughout the first half, and Melia and Sporting did a pretty good job to keep it level.
Yeah, man. 100%.
So, pretty interesting. Second half, largely more of the same. Johnny had another opportunity to score. There were some silly mistakes that ultimately could have led to goals. Andre Fontes got a phantom yellow card. He stepped up and had what I would say is just an incredible step in to hit the ball and steal it away and break up an LAFC attack. And I think the replacement ref just simply was in the wrong position and pulled out a yellow card in what even the announcer said wasn't even a foul.
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
It is frustrating, man, when we can see it all on video and they're making some judgment call right there in front of them. It's just, I don't know. You can't challenge things, you know. You can't challenge a yellow card. You can't say, no, hey, I'm throwing the flag. You got 60 seconds to go see if that was the thing, you know. And wouldn't that be something? That'd really slow down the game, wouldn't it?
It would. Well, I mean, the game gets slowed down when there's confusing things that happen, like, you know, in the 67th minute when suddenly LAFC gets the rare indirect free kick from inside the box. And what's funny is if you look at the MLSsoccer.com highlights package, they just go right to the indirect free kick. They clip out all of the buildup as to what actually happened there.
That's so stupid, dude. They kind of did that last week when we had our little discrepancy there against Philly.
Throwing.
I feel, man, indirect free kicks, you don't see these except in like rec soccer and it's a goalie who's never played goalie before.
Right.
So this was weird, man, and we didn't know what was going on at the time, but supposedly they thought, Tim Melia thought they were resetting the kick, right? Mm-hmm. But the referee read it as Jake Davis did a back pass, but Tim thought he was allowed to touch it because he was going to kick the ball away.
Yep.
We didn't know that at the time. Like, that wasn't explained to us at all. We had no freaking idea.
It was very confusing. What Tim said, here's the quote that he said after the game. He goes, when Andre Fontes hit the ball was clearly moving and went to Jake, and Jake paused and kicked it back. At that point, the ref had made a signal that the ball was moving, So when Jake played it back to me, I thought we were resetting the offside line because the offside actually occurred closer where Tim Ely was. I thought we were resetting the offside line. That's why I was walking forward because I was trying to get closer to where the actual offside was. And then they started to run at me, they being LAFC. And I was like, what's going on here? I'm just going to pick this up. I got lucky. I want to go back and watch it. Hopefully it's one I can laugh about later, but we didn't get scored on. So we're moving on from that. So basically what happened is like you said, Tim got a ball that was kicked back to him from Jake Davis. The ref decided, well, Jake Davis has restarted play. Tim didn't see it that way. And I believe it was Bogush who started running toward Tim. And so Tim picked it up because sometimes there's all sorts of weird things that are happening. And then you could tell from Tim and the rest of the Sporting KC team's reaction, as soon as they blew the whistle, he was all up in the ref's face trying to explain like emphatically what happened, and the ref didn't want to hear it. And at that point, I don't know if there's anything the ref can do.
No, he's not going to go change it, right? It's like ordering ball. It's like arguing balls and strikes and stuff like that. You know, they're not going to overturn it.
Can you imagine, though, if Sporting Kansas City got scored on here? Because an indirect free kick, for those who maybe haven't seen it, it is a kick from inside the box because a foul occurred inside the box, but it's one of the rare fouls that occur inside the box that does not result in a penalty. So in this case, Tim Ely picked up the ball from what was considered a live pass from his player, which you are not allowed to do.
Did he get a yellow for that?
I don't think he got a yellow.
No, he would have if it was outside the box, I think.
If it was outside the box, he would have got a yellow. He is not listed as having a yellow.
Okay.
The only players who had yellow for Sporting KC were Memo, Fontes, Rosero, and Jake Davis.
My goodness.
So, yeah, almost half the team. But it's difficult because LAFC cannot just take a shot straight away. They have to have two touches to the ball. So that's why you saw, was it Tillman or Atuesta? It was Tillman who just kicked it through Atuesta's legs, and then Bwanga tried to curl it in. Couldn't quite do it.
Neat little setup there, but you know, Peter was like, "We practiced this stuff," you know. He's like, and it paid off. So
yeah, 100%. And that's one of the good things about Peter Vermees. It's like this isn't a situation you see very often, but they practice it. It's the same thing that Andy Reid and the Chiefs did in the Super Bowl when you were getting to the end of time in the first overtime period. They knew the rules because they run through that scenario. It's important to run through these scenarios that don't happen very often. So
exactly.
There were some chances back and forth throughout the rest of the game. Memo had his strike in the 83rd minute that probably could have been a goal if Hugo Lloris did make a hell of a diving save.
That was going in. I mean, that was on target. That was absolutely going to sneak in there in that corner, which is as perfect as you can play that ball. Mm-hmm. So that's where that dude impressed me. And I'm like, okay, I'm glad we have that quality sitting there on the bench, yep. You know, able to come in and get meaningful minutes.
He played
a whole damn game, dude.
He did. He's a solid midfielder. He's a good depth piece midfielder. If he were our starting midfielder for the entire year, I would say that's maybe not ideal, but he's a good player.
If that had to happen and he's surrounded by the people that he's surrounded by, I don't think I'd be too terribly mad. I think it'd be fine.
We've had worse in the midfield.
Yeah, I mean, it's like if one of the center backs, you know, went down or whatever, like there's still good quality around them. It would suck. It would be bad. Maybe we got Courtney Ford balling out on the second team, you know?
We'll see. I mean, he didn't play, but this was Caden Pierre. He was in the game day roster this game.
So yeah.
That's progress. It's been a while since we've seen him in the Sporting KC first team. Martinez for LAFC in the 84th minute kind of Ole'd Jake Davis a little bit and just totally misfires. He had a one-on-one with Tim Ely. That could have been game right there.
And Bwanga was open.
He was wide the hell open. If he just sends that ball across the face of goal, Bwanga taps that in.
And he knew he was open. You see him look over there. You see him look to see. And I don't know why he didn't make that pass. I mean, they win the game right there.
I don't know either. I mean, that's a golden boot winner who's right there. And for some reason, he decides not to make that pass.
Yeah, that's out of control.
You know, the game got a little chippy toward the end. Not chippy, but, you know, it became a little feisty toward the end. There were 3 minutes of stoppage time. And at 93:07, this almost happened again to Sporting Kansas City. Hugo Lloris kicks the ball with 92:58, the length of the field. All Sporting has to do is clear it and the game's over. The ball just sort of perfectly bounces right past Fontes, And then it sort of deflects, and the shot that was taken by LAFC was off target. It deflected off Jake Davis, turned back on target, and Tim Melia reflexively jumps and somehow saves a point in a superhuman way because of what Melia does.
Because that shot's going in too, man. Like, they were going to win the freaking game. Oh, it got scary. I didn't, you know, normally they say to before bed, you should come down. You should relax, get your heart rate in a good place. Well, that did not get my heart rate in a good place before bed.
No, it did not. I felt like I needed a drink after that game. Which,
it's midnight and you're like, I think I'll start drinking now.
I think I'll pour myself. But if I were going to pour myself something, I think I would pour myself from Holiday Distillery. And we've been doing our little toast of the game. And I think it would only be fair. And today I got myself a nice little, vodka soda. You haven't tried 360 vodka? This is limoncello flavored vodka from 360.
Everyone knows the 360. You think like, oh, that's its own thing? No, that's Holiday Distillery.
Mm-hmm. And you got the Irish cream.
I got the old Irish cream, man. Five Farms from County Cork, Ireland. There from Holiday.
So I'm gonna have my vodka soda. Cause I'm trying to be a little healthier. This is the low calorie option, and. I'm going to say toast of the game is Tim Melia, because if it's not Tim Melia, we're not getting out of there with a point.
Definitely not.
So shout out to you, Tim Melia. Holiday.
Jimmy! And I watch Jimmy drink.
Now you watch me take a sip.
I just sit here and watch Jimmy get fucking hammered.
But, I mean, ultimately, when you look at what Peter Vermees says after the game, he was like, yeah, I think we probably could have taken two more points. But, which, you know, you convert a little bit better and you probably could have, but ultimately he goes, there's a little difference in the styles of both teams, but it was a good match. They probably think they could have scored a few. We probably think we could have scored a few. I think at the end of the day, the result is pretty fair. And I think that's true. It felt like a good evenly matched game.
Yeah, true.
So 1 point off of LAFC. If you would have told me that was going to be the result before the game, I would have gladly taken it. So now 3 points through three games, that's not the pace that you want to be on. And I had some people in my mentions after being like, what is, you know, winless through three again, like this is just going to be last year all over again. I feel better now than I did at this point last year, because there are more signs for optimism, I think, right now than there were last year. Does that make sense?
Yeah, let's not throw us in that last year boat just yet. You know what I mean? You know, shit, man, you do got San Jose coming to town this weekend, who probably has revenge on the nose. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't get any easier from here, but like you're picking up points, right? We're not getting beat. We're not getting blown out. But also, that's kind of what it was last year. The games we were losing or drawing was like last minute shit, man.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting, and I'd love to get 3 points this weekend.
Well, that's the thing. So last week, San Jose lost at home 2-0 to Vancouver. They're going to be mad, like you said. The difference between last year and this year, if you want to show that there's a difference between last year and this year, a game like Saturday against San Jose at Children's Mercy Park, that's a game you got to win. That's not a draw game. This is a 3 point or bust game. And again, I'm not going to be like, oh, it's a must win. It's the fourth game of the year.
Yeah,
but if you want to not repeat the mistakes of last year and have to dig yourself out of a hole again the entire, you know, final two-thirds of the season, you got to win games like are coming up on Saturday against San Jose.
Yeah, and you know the players are going to get frustrated soon, right? I assume they're keeping calm, being patient. It's real early, but gosh, they'd love a victory, man, especially the way for that Philadelphia game ended.
Absolutely. I mean, that one still stings, because
it's heartbreaking.
That's the one that's just going to be hard to get over. And if you look at what happens at the end of the season, if they're a couple points off a home playoff game, or if they're a couple points off of a playoff game at all, hopefully we're not in that situation. That's going to be the type of game you look back on and you're like, that shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
San Jose comes in, like you said, they're winless. They're winless, they're drawless. They've lost all three games they have played this year. Two of them have been at home. They lost on the road to Dallas 2-1. Then they lost at home 1-3 to the LA Galaxy. And then they lost at home 0-2 to the Vancouver Whitecaps.
Not only that, man, we kept them from going anywhere in the playoffs last year. So this is, yeah. I mean, this is a winnable game, obviously, but you're going to have a team who's trying to get their shit together and put together a good performance.
It's a very winnable game. I don't want to say it's a trap game, because I don't believe that Sporting Kansas City are in a position where they can have trap games. They're in a position where they need to win every game that's coming to them. But there is an opportunity to earn some serious points over the next, you know, couple of months, because five of the next six games are home games. We have a game on March 16th against San Jose, then again at home the following week against the Galaxy, and then on the road in Toronto, and then April 7th, is that a Sunday? I think that might be a Sunday, at home against the Portland Timbers, then the 13th home game against Inter Miami at Arrowhead, and then on April 20th, 420, against St. Louis City. So you got to win, I would say, of those five home games, you got to win four of them. At least to go 3-1-1.
Yeah. It's a good little stretch, man.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you get in a good rhythm. You don't got to go on the road and you get to sleep in your own bed and be with your family and stuff. The players love that shit. They talk about it all the time, how that influences their mood.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there you go. You take advantage of it.
Of those five home games, I think you got to get at least 10 points. And then, you know, somewhere between 11 and 12 points, you know, from this next six-game stretch, including the road game, then you're right back there in that sort of like mid to upper tier of the Western Conference. And I think you're in a pretty good spot. So we'll see. San Jose has some very talented players. Obviously, Christian Espinoza is one of those players that can be very dangerous and very speedy. So he's one to keep an eye out for. Carlos Vela has signed with the San Jose Earthquakes, I believe. I don't know if he's actually going to make, I'm pretty sure that's official. I don't know when he's going to make his first appearance, but, I don't know. This will be interesting to see. They have some decent players. Espinoza has not had the impact that, he typically has. So I expect that this should be a Sporting Kansas City win on Saturday. But I'm not confident enough to say, like, this is a definite win or whatnot. Sporting can definitely make some errors and end up costing themselves. So,
yeah, totally.
But let's see here. I guess Vela hasn't officially signed. I just looked it up. He was in advanced talks with the San Jose Earthquakes as of a week ago. So still nothing yet. So he's not going to play. But I don't know. We'll see. So I think it probably should be a pretty solid chance for 3 points for Sporting KC.
Agreed.
Before we move to some of the other weirdness that happened in MLS this week, I do want to give a shout out, because even though we are not the primary current podcast on the KCSN soccer feed, there's currently that you and Chris do every Wednesday, typically. Is that right? Comes out?
I think it comes out on Wednesdays, yeah.
This weekend, it's the first game of the KC Current at CPKC Stadium in the regular season, and we're gonna be there. You and Chris are gonna be there. I'm gonna be there. Y'all will be sitting in your regular season ticket seats. I'll be up in the press box. We'll have a couple of good different perspectives. This is a pretty big deal for the Kansas City Current. So what are you most looking forward to about this moment that's been years in the making?
I'm not gonna say nothing. Y'all will just have to listen to the episode.
So you're gonna have to, That's a good way to do it. You're going to have to listen to currently to get what he's most looking. I'll tell you what I'm most looking forward to, because I'm not on currently most weeks. I'm excited to go down there, and having seen this stadium be constructed over a couple of years, having heard about all of the things that it's going to have in terms of concessions or whatnot, having seen the Current go through Children's Mercy Park and the baseball stadium out at the Legends, and back in the FC Kansas City days, playing at Swope Park, whatnot. This team deserves to have their own stadium. So I'm very excited to go down there and see 12,000 Current fans packed together, assuming we can all find parking and actually get in the stadium by the time the game starts. But
should be fun. Yeah. I look forward to seeing and hearing everyone's stories and everything.
But yeah, check out Currently. If you're subscribed to this feed, you're already subscribed to get Currently. So you should be listening to it already. But if you're not, check it out. You'll get Chris and Dan's full thoughts.
There you go. I do want to hit, we had some people chiming in on YouTube with us.
Okay.
We got YouTube listeners, man. Brad Hamilton said the stadium upgrades were definitely noticed. and
oh, the sporting upgrades.
Yep, sporting upgrades. Put a big heart, and he said, "And there is no way the Stone Cold Steve Austin glass break isn't the correct answer." Remember, we were talking about when they come out for warm-ups.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I did Google what SCSA meant. He put SCSA glass break.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I had no idea what that was.
It didn't register with me at first, but
yeah. And then KU Jayhawks 2305 said the field felt brighter with the new lights.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. So looking forward to seeing the lights continue to evolve and take shape and all that.
Yeah, it's going to be a long day of soccer on Saturday because we got the Current at noon and then Sporting KC that night at 7:30. You're going to be driving up from Topeka for that game. So what do you?
A whole day. Might think we're going to pop into Zales and get the old wedding rings cleaned.
There you go.
That's adult shit, guys.
I was going to say, you're doing errands. I'm sitting here. I don't know what I'm.
You want to hang out between games?
Let's do it.
We were talking about it. We don't know. We might go to a museum. Maybe we'll get some vegan eats.
I'm all about it.
Okay. Well, Chris will be with us. So
I like Chris.
I like him. He's fine. Dude, talking about adult shit, by the way, I've never cared so much about grass as I do with being a homeowner.
Well,
grass. That's lawn is a big deal. Yeah. And we're getting a new bathroom vanity and like new faucets.
Look at you.
And I'm like geeking out about it.
You fancy.
Yeah. I mean, when it's wild, man. It's such a wild scenario to be excited about.
I would love to hear from some of our listeners, though. How many of you are going to both games on Saturday? You're going to the Current game and then down to Sporting Kansas City. What are you doing in between? Let us know your experience, especially Dan and Chris, so they can read them on Currently after the game. I'm sure you'll talk about this on this week's episode. But really looking forward to this. I'm probably going to have to get down there to park at like 8:30 in the morning just to make sure I can get on a shuttle and get to the stadium. I don't know.
Man, so. I don't know either. We'll talk about it. I was gonna lowball that number and probably be late.
Well, I have anxiety, so I always get to places early because I am terrified of not being somewhere where I need to be.
That's that LA brain, bro.
It forever broke me. I'm always gonna be perpetually early or perpetually late. I'll never be on time.
Right. Can't blame the traffic anymore around here. You can't be like, traffic was crazy, and everyone's like, bullshit.
What was crazy, I don't know if you saw this, did you see any of what happened in the Philadelphia Union and Seattle Sounders game over the weekend?
No.
They started...
Oh, they got delayed, didn't it?
They started the game. They played like 6 minutes.
6 minutes.
Not goddamn monsoon.
Oh.
It was full... You can see pictures on Twitter.
U.S. Women's National Team was like, monsoon, you say?
Well...
We played in a lake, okay? A ravine, rather.
There is that. It was pretty bad. Maybe a little worse than what the U.S. women did, but not much. But yeah, they tried to play this for a little bit, and then they canceled it, or not canceled it, postponed it. I am sending you a tweet to your text right now so you can see what they attempted to do to try to make this surface playable, and I want to get your reaction to watching this video. I retweeted this. They are trying to squeegee this field. In the largest act of futility that I think I've ever seen in my life.
That looks insane. I was too busy sending you Dune videos. holy cow, dude. That's crazy.
It literally looks like it's almost a pool. And they have like, you're a homeowner, like you said, if you ever like have water in your garage, you can get one of those like squeegee things where you try to push the water out or whatnot.
Yeah.
That's basically what they're doing to the field, except the water's not going anywhere. It's just staying on the field.
Yeah. Where's it going to go?
So they stood there. They stood in the rain for 15 minutes. And at one point, Raul Ruiz Diaz walked up to the referee and just dropped the ball and it didn't bounce. It didn't do anything. It just flopped into a puddle and just splashed water everywhere. And he's like, what are we doing?
And that's how you're supposed to cancel it. If the ball doesn't bounce, the game can't go.
So that's eventually what they finally were like, okay, let's go to the locker rooms and we'll reassess in 30 minutes. And then eventually they're like, we got to postpone the game.
See, that's insane that the USA women played earlier in the week because that ball didn't bounce either.
No.
That, they were clearly in a pond, bro. It was wild.
Now, that was part of the CONCACAF Gold Cup. So maybe CONCACAF was being CONCACAF-y and just not wanting to move anything.
Maybe, but also it's the first year of the CONCACAF Gold Cup for women, mm-hmm. but also like maybe they're restricted. You got to play these games because you got the championship set for Sunday.
Right.
So, I mean, they're like, I don't want to delay this. When are you going to play it?
which shout out to the women. They won the championship. It was a tough game against Brazil, but they won it.
Yeah, it was dope.
So pretty cool. So yeah, that game was wild. The other hilarious clip that I saw was in the Miami-Montreal game where Drake Callender for Inter-Miami comes way the hell out of his box, totally misplays it. Montreal has an open net, should be a tap-in. The Montreal attacker totally misplays it. He's running around like a madman. Somehow, like, four Miami defenders get back before Kokoro can actually get a shot off, and this ends with probably the most embarrassing clip I think I've seen from MLS in a long time, because it makes not only the defense look absolutely incompetent, it makes the attackers look absolutely incompetent.
You know, thank goodness it didn't matter for Montreal, right? Because they won the game. They won 3-2. But had they, like, draw or lost, they'd really be hating that moment, you know?
I mean, that's the type of play where if I'm a Montreal, like, if this happens to Sporting, if this is Alan Pulido instead of Kokoro, and Sporting gets this chance, there's a period of time where all he has to do is literally tap the ball in with his left foot. There is nobody within 25 yards of the goal line. But he must not have any left foot whatsoever, because he tries so hard to get it on his right foot, and by the time he does, there's three people between him and the line. This would be the type of thing that would sit with me for days and make me angry.
I think I'd be practicing that left foot.
You'd have to. It's just... Well,
Champions Cup is off and running too, man. They played those 6 games earlier in the week, and I was surprised to see Philly scoreless draw with Pachuca and Orlando scoreless draw with Tigres.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, these teams are just playing with them so they can scorch them next game, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's possible. Monterey beat Cincinnati. Nashville and Miami had a battle that ended.
That was crazy game. Mm-hmm. Did you watch this?
I didn't see all of it. No. Did you watch the whole thing?
Miami stole the draw at the end, bro. It was last freaking minute. Sanchez, Suarez. I think. Suarez, yeah. Terrible. Just a great header overall. And I was like, there's no way. You're about to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
How do you let this happen?
Mm-hmm.
It's heartbreaking. But, you know, Columbus goes up on Houston, and New England just blew out Alajuelense. Is that how you say that?
I think so.
Cool. Crushed it. We'll say I did it. They just killed him 4-0. My goodness.
Yeah, Nashville went up 2-0, and then of course Messi gets his Messi goal, and then Suarez 90 minutes plus 5 at the death.
But Cincinnati could have beat Monterey. Monterey got a red card, bro, and they had to play a man down later on, up 1-0, and Cincy was coming, but Monterey is Monterey.
We know what happened when Sporting Kansas City played Monterey. It was not a fun
kind of good. Now do they turn around and they'll go to their place, right? Like Cincy will go to Monterey this week?
Yeah, so on Thursday, Cincy plays in Monterey, Nashville is in Miami, so it's the second leg. Orlando is in Tigres, Philly is at Pachuca, England is at Alajuelense, and Houston at Columbus. So
wild. So
lots of soccer.
Then they got to get back for MLS too, man. That's always tough. We've been there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but lots of fun soccer happening right now. So
yeah.
I don't know, man. It's a big weekend for soccer in Kansas City.
Well, it is. It's going to be booming. I'm excited to see everyone's stories and everything. I will say that I am hating the fact that Miami is becoming a must-watch team. You hate them, but you're going to watch them to see what kind of craziness goes on. It's everything the league wants, and it's everything we hate. It is frustrating. But I tell you what, I find myself seeing when they play on Saturday, and I'll be like, cool, I'll show up to see Leo Messi smoke DC United at freaking noon, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting to watch. It's also a little disheartening as a fan of the league, just being like, oh, yeah, again, this is just kind of sucks that this team just went out and bought a bunch of old dudes that are still getting results.
They're like the guys getting together playing slow pitch softball, and they just hit dingers all day.
It's frustrating. It's frustrating, but you know, it's this is what Apple paid for.
So yeah, it is
good for them. I will again say that I hope that MLS and Pro can come to an agreement with the PSRA members. That as of earlier today, when I saw from Pablo Moore of The Athletic, there are no talks that are scheduled right now, and there was no progress made in negotiations. So, scab refs for a while.
Great. We love them. Awesome. We're having a good time.
They've been doing wonderful.
Wow.
So, you got anything else for our good listeners before we let them go?
No, dude. I'm really enjoying this. You know, I told you I'm trying to pay more attention to MLS so we can do these little roundtable things at the end of our show every week. And I'm really enjoying it. It makes us a lot of fun. So
it is. It's awesome. It's a fun league, even if weird things happen, like Montreal not being able to score on an open net.
Yeah, you know, and I think I pay a lot more attention to like Western Conference games since they matter more to us.
Yeah.
Like if they play at the same time as an Eastern Conference team, I will prioritize. Like, I'll watch Portland over NYC, you know?
Absolutely. Yep. Totally get it. So.
Cool, guys.
Well, thank you all so much for listening. If you're going to be at the current game, let Dan, Chris, or myself know. Say hi. We'll probably be down there early. Where are you going to park? Let us know. I'd love to know because I don't know where I'm going to park either.
Just on the road, like an apocalypse. Just abandon your vehicle like a Royals parade.
But make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at NoOtherPod, at Dan Kuser, at JCMac03. Leave us that 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Shoot us an email, nootherpod@gmail.com, or check us out on video, KCSN Soccer on YouTube or the Kansas City Sports Network app. But until next time, he's Dan, I'm Jimmy. We'll catch y'all later. See ya.
What's this envelope here? Oppenheimer.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all 6 of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.